you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's interesting that in the Bible, the very last verse of the very last chapter of the book of Psalms, Psalms 150, says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Amen. And that's what we've been doing today, and we're going to continue to do that. It's just a fantastic day in the Lord this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, or 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, hearing is an important part in the believer's life with Christ. Hearing the word taught, as hearing the word preached, as hearing the word through testimony, it's crucial in growing our faith and in the church along with other believers. There's a story about a pastor who was building a wooden trellis to support a climbing vine that was growing. And as he was pounding away, he saw this little boy come up to him and start watching him. And the youngster, he didn't say a word, so the pastor just kept on working, building this trellis, thinking that the boy would get bored and just wander away, but he wouldn't. He didn't. He just stayed there, watching him. And so the pastor, he finally asked, he said, "Well, son, are you trying to pick up some important things on gardening?" And the little boy replied, he said, "No." He said, "I'm just waiting to hear what a preacher says when he hits his thumb with a hammer." So today, I want to talk about hearing your faith, about hearing something greater. How many of you know that your faith is important? Amen? Faith is important. And the thing about faith that is that in this chapter of Corinthians, it's pretty powerful because it gives us some insights into faith. When it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 17 and 18, it says, "For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So if you're going to grow by faith, then you do not focus your hope on the things that are seen, but rather on the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you may just have to look over a page or turn a page in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And let's read this one out loud, because I know everybody has different translations, but it pretty much says the same thing. And let this word get down deep into your spirit today. Everyone ready? "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Let's say that again. "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And it's so important for us to understand this, that if we're going to be people of faith and not people of fear, but as people of faith, then we do not walk by what we see before us and let it dominate us and let it defeat us and let it get us down. But rather what we do is we hear the promises of God. What we're hearing is greater than what we're seeing. Faith is so important. The definition of faith, according to the Bible, is faith is not what you see. That's why the gospel said in Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 25, when Jesus and his disciples were walking, and Jesus comes along and he's hungry and he looks at the fig tree and he doesn't see any fruit on it, and he talks to the plant. Yes, Jesus talked to plants. And he cursed the fig tree. And afterwards, nothing happened. And the disciples probably thought, well, he missed the mark on that prayer. And they walked away. But however, 24 hours later, when they returned the same way, the Bible said that that same tree was withered up from the roots. Now, if you were looking on the outside and at what you see, then prayer wasn't making a difference. But the moment that Jesus prayed that or spoke that to that tree, underneath the ground, what they couldn't see, that root began to wither up. And even though it looked like nothing was happening, something was really happening that was unseen. And that's how faith works, by trusting God. Faith is being willing to walk off the map, so to speak, or not to have all the answers that you need. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that by faith, Abraham, when he was called, he obeyed God by going out to a place which he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing or having a clue where he was going. And what happens with us is we want to know everything. I want to follow God's will, but I want to know everything because I want to make sure I do it right. We want to have every question answered before we even begin to make a move. But God cannot be pleased by doing that, by going through your faith through logic, so to speak. It's actually impossible to please God. The Bible says that in Hebrews chapter 11 through 6, without faith, I don't care how religious you are. I don't care how many rules that you have in your life that you obey. I don't care what you abstain from or what you don't do. He said that if where you are is not requiring any faith of you or risk, then you're not pleasing God. And we often look at risk as doing something that we've never done or going something where we've never been. But risk can be something as simple as, I'm getting tired of seeing those weeds grow, so I'm going to do something about it and step forward and do it. And that's why you have the flower bed that looks as pretty as it does, thanks to Cindy. Faith can be as simple as listening to a voice while you're in a car when you're tired and obeying it to go to someone's house who is in need that you had no clue of. But get this. Faith may be as simple as taking a risk by faith to forgive someone. By risk, by obeying faith, by being obedient against your will. You don't even want to do it, but you have to be obedient. What you think needs to be done rather than that of something or someone else. That's faith. Because God loves to see His word trusted. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Don't let what you see hinder you from what heaven is letting you hear. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And then there's a part in the Bible I love in Romans chapter 10, verse 17 about faith. It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So don't go by what you see. Go by what you hear. It's so important that you get a word from God in developing your faith rather than you just walking out blindly, not knowing where you're going necessarily. Because what you hear from the scriptures and moments of like these, like we're having now, from singing in faith to please God's ears or hearing the word preached or taught or by testimony, that's what's going to determine whether or not you overcome. And I think of the story in the Old Testament in 2 Samuel chapter 5 of when David was fighting the Philistines. And the Bible said, God told David, he says, when you go out into the battlefield, he said, I want you to pull off to the side of the battlefield. And when you do, I want you and your army, your men, or how many ever you got with you, to go underneath the mulberry trees. Now your Bible may say balsam trees, but they're the same tree. And God told David, he said, I want you to wait until you hear the sound of the rustling in the tops of those trees. Now, so many of us, we get in our faith and we're determined to charge hell with a squirt gun, saying, I'm going for it. I'm going to get the enemy. But God's, we don't hear God saying, oh, there, Sparky, hold back. This one's, let me go before you and take care of this guy. I've got him. And then I'll let you stand all over him and squirt all you want with your squirt gun. But let me have that victory first. And God says, I'm going to go out before you. And that's the signal when you go, when you hear the rustling on the tops of the trees and the troops to fight the Philistines. So here you have David, and he's looking at this overwhelming sized army. And he's got his troops. Don't say, I don't know how many they are, but evidently they were smaller than the army before him. And God tells David, he says, I don't want you to be focused on what you see, because what you see looks like defeat coming towards you. But I want you to hear, and whenever you hear the sounds of angels' chariots rumbling over the tops of those mulberry trees, that will be your signal for your time to move out and advance forward, and I will give you the victory. Don't go by what you see. Go by what you hear. Prophet Elijah, he was in a famine, and if he would have gone by what he was seeing, he would have seen that everything was drying up around him. Everything was gone for 3.5 years. And we think it's rough when we don't get any rain during just the summertime. But 3.5 years, that's almost devastation, if not. And in 1 Kings chapter 17, he didn't go by what he saw. He said, I hear something different from God, from what my eyes are seeing before me. Hearing something different. Hearing something that's a contradiction to what I'm seeing. And so this is what faith does. Faith doesn't just look at the facts or the logic and say, well, I just might as well give up. Faith looks at those defiant circumstances around you that look like defeat, and then listens to God and His Word, because you'll never hear heaven talking about defeat. You'll never hear heaven saying, give up. You're not going to make it. Just end it now. You're never going to hear heaven saying that. You'll never hear heaven saying that kind of stuff. And then you have to determine, as a person of faith, am I just going to see what I see? Or am I going to just watch what I'm watching happens before me? And then let that circumstance determine fear and worry and all of those things that come with that? Or am I going to listen to what I hear? And then in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41, Elijah said, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. So while Elijah was watching famine all around him, he was hearing about an abundance that God would provide. And that's faith. So many times what we do is we fail to pay attention to what God's saying, and we don't hear Him. We rather go by what we know or what we have learned, and we don't hear what He's saying to us, and we miss out then on our faith being able to grow. Because a lot of us here have a lot of wisdom, a lot of us here have a lot of understanding, as well as knowledge about God's Word. But that's another thing than hearing what God tells you to do. Because you can stand there and smile all day and say, I know all this stuff, but it's a matter of fact on what you hear God say to you that's important. How many of us in here may have missed that voice from God that tells us to go to someone or to do something, such as the testimony you've heard today? President Franklin D. Roosevelt tried, he was known as having a big smile in all of the history books. But you know, he got tired of smiling that big smile and saying all of those unusual things at all of those White House receptions. So one evening, he decided to find out if anyone was really paying attention to what he said or not. And so as each person would come up during the reception with an extended hand and shake his hand, he would flash that big smile toward him and say, I murdered my grandmother this morning. And people would automatically respond with comments of such as like, oh, how nice, oh, how lovely, or just continue your great work, President. Nobody listened to what he was saying to them, except one foreign diplomat. And when the president said, I murdered my grandmother this morning, the diplomat responded softly back to him saying, well, I'm sure she had it coming. And so the question is, are you responding to what you are seeing before you? Or are you responding to what heaven is saying? I mean, the meeting and the president, the people were in awe of him, and it was showing them one thing, but what they didn't hear was that was being said by the person that was standing right there in front of them. And we have to decide, are we going to be people by just and live, but just by what we see, and letting every day when you get up determine what kind of day that's going to be for you? Or are you going to live by what you hear? Man shall not live by bread alone, by what he can see, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's the life of faith. That's how you can live up in a down world. That's why you can look at all of the crazy things that's happening in our nation, and if you let it, it'll get you down. Or you can turn around and say to yourself that I'm getting my news from another world, and it tells me that things are going to be all right. No, God's not nervous about politics. God's not nervous about the economy. He's not nervous about all the violence, all the shootings that you've seen, all the beatings that you've watched on the news or your social media. God's not up there in heaven biting his nails, because he's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. And he assures us that he's going to take care of us, his children, and his people. If you believe that, I need someone to shout an amen this morning. If you're hearing something that's greater than what you're watching, now that's the shout of faith. When I look around this church, it seems odd that a church, that this church, would be cheerful when so many of you sitting here this morning have so many things, all kinds of problems in your lives that you're dealing with. Anywhere from healing, family problems, financial problems. But you come to church, you still come to church and you start cheering. You still come to church singing songs of worship and praising the name of Jesus and raising your hands and swaying gently, and you're sitting there usually praising with your eyes closed. You know why? Because you don't want to look at the circumstances around you. You don't want to have to face those circumstances you're living in right now. And I'm glad, and you're glad as well, that we have a faith that overcomes all of the world and all of those things happening around us. And I've got, because that's, we have to go by what we hear and not by see, because if we don't, it'll get us down. Amen? I've got faith that tells me the good news in a world of bad news. And that gives my spirit something to cheer about as well as you do. And that's why it's exciting when we get together as Prayer of Faith, that we lift up the name of Jesus. We worship a one true God. We welcome the Holy Spirit to be among us and to distribute his gifts among us. And Jesus knew that as well. And that's why he gave the church three cheers, instructing us to be cheerful. And it almost seems that as if it were odd that living in a depressed world as we do and coming together and everything around us looks like defeat, defeat, defeat here, defeat there. I mean, just look at the laws today. Look at the Supreme Court decisions. Look at the one they passed last week about women. And thank you for coming clothed today, by the way. But everything around us looks like defeat. And especially attacks on morality. It seems like everything is anti-religion, anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-family. And we're supposed to be cheering? I don't even care what happens in the election this next coming year. I'm going to be cheering. Not so much maybe for the election, but I'll be cheering inside. We should know better than just to let this stuff get us down, or to control our soul and to control our spirit and to get us all shaken and riled up and anxiety filling our lives. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I know one thing, that I'm hearing Jesus is coming again soon. I'm hearing that trumpet is going to sound, and I'm hearing that he's bringing another kingdom where righteousness will be exalted. And my hope and your hope, it isn't in this world. Don't live by what you see. Live by what you hear. And in God's word, Jesus comforted us three times by telling us to cheer up. be of good cheer. Three times. John 16:33, King James Version, he said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And so if Jesus has overcome it, no matter what's going on around you in the bigger picture, there's victory. And Jesus assures us that he overcame the things of the world. And even though we look around us and see a lot of things by sight that seems to be overwhelming us, Jesus promises us that he overcame them. And if he did that, then you and I, as well as him, can overcome them well in our lives. It may not be the result you want it to be, but by hearing his word, we can be assured that we will overcome. And then in Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, King James Version, it says, "Behold, they brought him a man sick of palsy, who was lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their face, said unto the sick of palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins have been forgiven thee." So if you don't have anything to cheer about this morning, your sins have been forgiven. Amen? Celebrate what you got rid of. Celebrate getting rid of that shame. Celebrate getting rid of that guilt. Celebrate about getting rid of that yesterday. You've been born again. You're a new creation. And your sins are forgiven. Be of good cheer. And no matter what's going wrong in my life and your life, that part is right, because Jesus finished that on the cross on Calvary. And then Jesus says in Matthew chapter 14, verse 27, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." So Jesus tells us, I want you to be of good cheer, number one, that if the world looks like it's winning, and the system of the world and unrighteousness all around us looks like it's winning, then I want those in my church to really cheer up. Number two, if sin looks like it's running rampant and on the increase, then I want my church to be of good cheer, because your sins have been forgiven. And then number three, if you're in a storm, I want you to be of good cheer, because it is I who walks on top of the water, the water walker, who comes walking on the tops of those white caps, and I don't want you to be afraid. Because Jesus also said in John 15:19, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, I chose you out of this world, and because of this, the world hates you. And it's tough to be in a world that where they people hate you. We're in this world and we're watching things. And you may be watching your child living in disobedience. You may be watching your marriage in trouble. You may be watching your finances being depleted and just being withered up. And we're in the world and that's what we're watching, but Jesus tells us that we are not of this world. Because there's another world that we need to learn to hear. And it's not telling you that you need to be depressed about what you see before you. Instead, it's telling you to hear something else. That's why we have the word, like Deuteronomy 28:7 says, "The Lord will grant you that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee in seven directions." This is what faith people do. They look at defeat, but they hear victory. This is what they do. And they look at discouragement and they begin to say, you know, I know this is discouraging, but God has blessed me with so many things throughout my life. He's blessed me in my home. Oh, he did. Well, you sure don't look blessed. Your car ain't working. It's broken down. I saw you down walking down the road with your thumb out. No. No, those things are just temporary. It's just temporary. Because everything changes when God's word gets inside of you. May not happen today. It may happen tomorrow. If it doesn't happen tomorrow, then my faith won't let go until I'm blessed. And that's faith. Watching one thing, but yet hearing another. My faith. I hear that I'm free. according to the book of John, chapter 8, verse 36, in the song we sang earlier this morning. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Amen. I hear that I'm blessed, according to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 6, where it says, blessed are you when you come in, and blessed are you when you go out. I also hear that I'm not condemned by the enemy or other people who are around me that try to do that. Romans chapter 8, 1 says, therefore there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's my Jesus. That's your Jesus, who loves me and who loves you and who gave himself for us. I hear that I'm anointed. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 says, he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us in God. That's what I hear from God. I know I'm seeing one thing, but glory, hallelujah, I'm hearing another thing. Amen? You may have even buried a loved one recently and you watched him lower him to the grave and the ground, but you're hearing another word that says, ain't no grave going to keep that body down. That's resurrection power for those who are in Christ Jesus. Everybody needs to understand this. Everybody needs to not go by what they see, but go by what they hear. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. You believe that this morning? Amen. Bible says what I'm hearing is greater than what I'm seeing. No matter what you go through, no matter what you encounter in your circumstances, no one has the right to be depressed. Because he has not given us a spirit of fear. Daniel, I know that you're sitting there looking at a bunch of hungry lions before you who want to make you their snack pack. But our God is a deliverer and knows how to give the lions lockjaw in the face of what he's seen. Calvary looked like defeat. But on the third day, the stone was rolled away and Jesus rose up triumphantly. That's faith. And you know, we talk about the last days, and if we're not careful, we can paint a picture of gloom and doom for our children. And yes, it is perilous times. And yes, there are evil men and seducers out there. You know, I've never seen as much corruption out there, anything in all my life, than what we're dealing with today's times. But I'm not worried about it, because at the same time, I hear something different. The Old Testament, an old prophet named Joel said, and it shall come to pass that on the last day, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters, they shall prophesy. Now to prophesy is to talk about the future. And your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall dream visions. In other words, our young people will get filled with God's Spirit and begin talking about the future. God says that I'm going to raise up a generation that will have a dream for the future. That says I'm going to change the face of politics. That says I'm going to change the face of how medicine is done now. You'll never see it done again. It's different. We're changing the face of medicine. I'm going to change the church even how you've known it and grown up to be. We're going to change the laws and we're going to change the nation. And that only happens is when they're filled with the Spirit and they get a vision from God on what their purpose is. And I don't know when that will happen or when that purpose will arise. But when they get filled with the Spirit and that Spirit rises up in them, it will come forth. And I'm saying today that there's victory ahead in a greater place that's more powerful. What Jesus did on the cross at Calvary, that assures us that's the worst it's ever going to get. And the worse it gets for us as a church, the better it gets. There may be darkness all around you now, just hovering over you like a shadow. But Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, declares to us to arise and shine. Your light has come and the glory of God has risen upon you. And the darker that this world gets, the brighter we become as a church. And he has called his church to shine upon us. 2 Corinthians 3:18 declares to us, "And we all who with unveiled faces have contemplated the Lord's glory, and being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." That's why we shine. It's because we're able to look at Him with unveiled faces. And we shine as a mirror does and reflect Him. And if you put your ear up to heaven, you know what you'll hear? You'll hear, "We win. We win. Bring on the last days. Bring on the Antichrist. Bring on all hell, because we win." Because when it's all said and done, the trumpet of the Lord will sound, and we'll see Jesus in the clouds. And the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise up first, and all of us who remain will meet them in the clouds. That's not what I hear. Or that's not what I see, but that's what I hear. Because I don't want to live by what I see all the time, do you? Do you? No. Life can get ugly around us. Life can discolor your world. Even to the color past shades of gray, but black. I want to live by what I hear. Because we need to hear a sound from heaven right in the middle of our hell that we're going through. Luke chapter 10, verse 17 through 20. Jesus' disciples came back and said, "The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' And Jesus said to them, 'I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And behold, now I give you the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven.' And Jesus," he said, "I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning." And I love that, because now Satan has one of those beepers that he has to wear saying, "I've fallen and I can't get up." Satan is a fallen foe. Satan is an ex-employee from heaven that was kicked out. Satan is no longer the worship leader of heaven. Matter of fact, that's why he doesn't want you to have fun in worship service. That's why he doesn't want you to cheer in worship service, because he's not the worship leader up there anymore. He doesn't want you to have any joy, because of what you're looking at around you and your circumstances will just overcome you. Have you ever been sitting there worshiping and all of a sudden one of the most ungodly thoughts hits your head? In your mind, or just something that you're dealing with just kind of looms back into your presence in your mind while you're trying to worship? This is what he's trying to do. He's trying to get you to look at something more than what you're hearing. But a worship church is something and somebody that looks at the defeat, something that's seemingly defeat, but yet it has the ability to raise its hands in that same arena. And to sing about Jesus is alive. And to sing about Jesus is Lord. And to know that He's still a healer today. And to know that Jesus is still a deliverer. And it's interesting that Jesus went on and He said, "I have given you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions. And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you." Over all of the power. And He said, notice about serpents and scorpions, He said that serpents, He's given this power over serpents and scorpions. And if you notice, serpents strike with their head. And scorpions strike you with their tail. So what Jesus was basically saying is, heads or tails, you still win. Because I've given you power over it. And whatever life throws at you, if it's on the good side, then glory, hallelujah, we win. If it lands on the bad side, we still win. Heads or tails. Because we have a God that took the stinger out of death. We have a God who crushed the head of the serpent that says, "All I hear is the sound of victory from heaven if I walk by faith, not by sight." And when we learn to hear the sound of victory, the kind we read about in His Word and the kind that we sing about so freely here at Prayer of Faith, we win. And so what does that mean? That means don't go home today and look at all of those bills or look at the circumstance before you and lose your heart and lose your hope. but hear something that's greater than what you're seeing. And receive by faith the word you're hearing over that circumstance of what you're watching. Because if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is raised from the dead, you shall be saved. And Jesus told his disciples about the authority he had given them in Luke chapter 10, and he concluded with, "Nevertheless, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but that your names are recorded in heaven." So rejoice. Jesus gave us something greater, greater than what we can ever do while we're here on this earth. And it comes by hearing. Hearing through faith. And today, Jesus is calling you to come, to obey, and to overcome, no matter what circumstance you're dealing with today. Because we win. We win through our faith. We win by hearing something greater than what you'll ever see before you. Stand with me and let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. We lift our hands, we lift our hearts, we lift our spirits to you, lifting them, singing hallelujah. Hallelujah to you, Father. And we ask that you would give us a word. I ask that everybody in here would receive a word from God, if not this week, in the future, that will help you to increase your faith in your walk, that will determine and give you hope of victory over your circumstance, so that you'll learn to listen and hear faith instead of waiting to see it before you. God, please bless us as your children. Watch over us and give us the ability to walk with confidence in learning to hear your voice and not just step out there blindly fearing that we'll fall off the edge, but rather as a child in the lost woods to listen to your voice as a direction to come to draw us closer to you for blessing, for righteousness, for victory over all that we ever see before us that can still fear in us. We give you glory, Jesus Christ, and all the church said.